broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Boy, what is it? There's a rule. This is not a radio rule. This is around the dinner table. You're not supposed to talk about religion or politics. Well, we sort of break that rule every day here at the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hello, everybody. Hope you're doing well today. A lot going on. This is the eve of the last presidential debate in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're going to do a deep dive into that. A lot of people wanting to give the president some advice on what he should and should not do. We're going to be taking your calls on that. Also, we've had a lot of just regular Joes, our fellow American citizens, who are coming under attack for their political beliefs and for their religious beliefs. And we're going to be talking to several of those individuals a little bit later on in today's program. So there's a lot of interesting content here. Today's show is going to be a little off kilter. And we're going to weigh in on the Biden stuff, and that is some very disturbing information. And I'm just going to go ahead and come out and say this. I just don't know how you can be a person of faith and vote for Joe Biden, based on what we now know. Setting aside the abortion issue, that the guy is in favor of late-term abortions, but all the information coming out, the jaw-dropping allegations from Rudy Giuliani, that there are images, there are emails that allege that Hunter Biden was involved with younger girls and that Joe Biden knew about it. It's pretty despicable stuff. So we're going to get into that. But I want to start with some breaking news involving the Catholic Church. I have a question. I'm a Southern Baptist. I think I'm pretty open about that. I love my denomination. And we're going through a rough time right now. We've been sort of overrun by young, woke, millennial preachers. You know what it is? I'm just going to throw this out there. I think one of the reasons why we're going through issues in the Southern Baptist Church and our woke, millennial preachers, it's the skinny jeans. It cuts off the circulation. Seriously, the only thing you need to be a worship pastor in a church these days is a pair of skinny jeans with the holes in the knees, and you need some, like, stubble growth and a guitar. That's pretty much what you need. And so it's we're sort of overall in Christianity, I think we are looking at the dumbing down of Christianity. You say, Tom, what do you mean by that? Well, what I mean is there was a time when children went to Sunday school. Adults went to Sunday school. You would go to Sunday school, then you would go to church, and the pastor would not preach from a book. He would preach from the Holy Bible. And people were Bible literate. They understood what the Bible said about things. They could tell you. Back when I was in Sunday school, we had to learn all the books of the Bible, and we had to recite those, and we got a really cool little gold star and a donut. As you can tell, ladies and gentlemen, I memorized the books of the Bible very quickly. I like donuts. But they don't do that anymore. A lot of churches, they have jettisoned Sunday school. The worship services are nothing more than glorified worship concerts with cover bands. And it is what it is. I'm not judging. I love music. I love worship bands. I have nothing against worship bands at all. But what I'm saying is that we have dumbed down Bible teaching in America. We have dumbed down the hymnal in America. And I think there's a price to pay for that. I think a lot of people in this country don't have a clue about why they believe what they believe. And that's why when you look at the cultural landscape right now, you have, and I'm telling you, if you tune into every other political talk radio program, they're going to tell you that the problem is the Republicans or the Democrats, or it's this political entity or that political entity. Here on this program, I just say what's on my heart and my mind, and I believe that what we are dealing with is not a political crisis, but a moral crisis, and that is a crisis of the heart. We've got a big problem in this country. We've got a big problem in the world. And I can tell you, in the Southern Baptist Convention, we have been overrun by these people who believe in critical race theory. We have Southern Baptist leaders who believe that we have to repent for being a white person. We have Southern Baptist leaders who shame you if you vote for Donald John Trump. If you voted for President Trump, they shame you. You are some sort of an outcast because he doesn't meet their criteria of X, Y, or Z, of civility, decorum. Well, you know what? Folks, look, I get it. Trump is not a seminary professor. He's the president of the United States. I don't need my president quoting Bible verses to me. I don't need my president to tell me right from wrong. I need a president who's going to do the job that we sent him there to do. And there are many people in the Christian world who look to the president of the United States as a moral leader, as some sort of a, you know, you're supposed to admire this person almost as if they are your parent. Well, that's nowhere in the Constitution. That's a wrong-headed approach, in my estimation. If I'm looking for moral guidance, I'm not looking at the White House. I'm going to my pastor. I'm going to my church, or I'm talking about it with my family. But that's not what's happening anymore. It's really weird. So anyway, let me get to the Catholics here. But one final thought about Southern Baptists. The reason why this is a big deal. Southern Baptist Convention, the largest non-Catholic denomination in America. So they wield a lot of heft when it comes to the culture at large and speaking truth to the culture. And what was it Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said? Silence in the face of evil, evil itself. Not to speak is to speak, not to act is to act. And by and large, because of these woke millennial Southern Baptist ministers, and this is all spewing out of the seminaries, because of this, the Southern Baptist Convention has effectively disengaged from the culture war, and I'm speaking on the national level. They've disengaged from the fight. And when you do that, when you're supposed to be shining a light into the darkness that is our political morass right now, and when you turn that light off, well, you get what we've got. Truth used to be absolute. It's no longer absolute. And it's especially no longer absolute in the Catholic Church. This is the headline from the New York Daily News just a few moments ago. Pope Francis calls for civil union laws for same-sex couples. In other words, the Pope is endorsing gay marriage, but he's not calling it marriage. They're calling it civil unions. The Pope says they are children of God and have a right to a family. Quote, homosexuals have a right to be a part of the family. They're children of God and have a right to a... Oh, I just dropped the... There we go. Hit the wrong button on the computer there. My apologies. Homosexuals have a right to be a part of the family. They're children of God and have a right to a family. The Pope Francis, made these remarks in a documentary that premiered in Rome today. The Pope says nobody should be thrown out or be made miserable because of it. According to the Catholic News Agency, the remarks came as the documentary Francesco touched on how the Church should care for LGBTQ people. What we have to create is a civil union law, the Pope said. That way they are legally covered. I stood up for that. So this is causing a lot of anxiety right now within the Catholic Church because, by and large, Catholics and Protestants have been pretty rock solid in their support of traditional marriage, meaning the biblical definition of marriage, meaning one dude, one dudette. So a guy and a gal, that's marriage. And that's the way it's been since the dawn of time. But clearly, we now live in a woke society where anything goes. Now, here's my question for the Pope, and this is a genuine question. What gives him the right to decide what the Bible says about marriage? And for that matter, what gives the Pope the right to determine, in his estimation, that we are going to redefine marriage as between one person and another person? why not another person and another person? Or why not, you know, what do they call that, a throuple? Is that what they call it, where you have three people? And it's a thing. People are doing that now. I mean, if you're going to do this, if the Pope is going to redefine what God defined, where do the Catholics draw the line? And I'm very curious, because it seems as if the Catholics are going through the same problem that the Southern Baptists are going through. They've become unmoored from their belief system, and they are adrift in a political sea. So we're going to take your calls on this. I'm very curious, and this is important, because when you do not have absolute truth, guess what? Looting becomes reparations. When you do not have absolute truth, anarchy becomes peaceful protesting. Do you understand what that means and the ramifications of everybody has their own truth? And we never can get through and get an answer to this question. What happens when my truth conflicts with your truth? Whose truth takes precedent at that point? This is the problem facing America. And it's a very simple problem, and it's a very simple fix. But I'm not quite sure the church is ready or willing to engage in that conversation right now. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. I'm very anxious to hear from both Catholics and Southern Baptists. I mean, both of you groups are going through a very similar issue at this very moment, trying to redefine what you are and what you believe. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, so President Trump is going to be doing a big rally tonight in Gastonia, North Carolina. So spending a lot of time there in the Tar Heel State. Then heading off to Nashville, Music City, USA. And we understand that the area around Belmont University pretty much on lockdown, including one of my favorite coffee joints in all of America, the Bongo Java. It's a really great place. It's an old house. And they turned it into a really cool, funky coffee house. And they have delicious honey buns, homemade honey buns. And one of those honey buns, years ago, Grace Baker, this is a fascinating, hey, where's Avery Bryson? I have to tell you both this story. This is history. So many years ago, they were making one of the honey buns, and when it came out of the oven, do you know who it looked like?
Uh-oh.
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a really big oxymoron.
No, they call it the nun bun.
Oh, and that's clever.
And they shellacked it, and they put that nun bun in a glass case. I mean, it was basically a shrine. People would come, and they would say a prayer at the nun bun.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't make this up. This
Did
is
you
a,
get one?
What, a nun bun?
Yeah.
No, it's only one. It came out. This is what it was like,
it's
a miraculous.
It's a special one.
It's a special nun bun.
I see. Yeah. Well, did you have one of the regular honey buns?
No, it was kind of off-putting. You didn't want to be eating like, you know, you felt like you were eating a nun.
Just eating a honey bun right in front of the shrine.
That's right. So,
oh, man.
So they said, honey bun,
honey
none
so
for me.
Good,
none for me. All right, let's go to the phones. Thank
see
you.
What you did there.
All right, let's go to the phones. Tony, Jacksonville, North Carolina. So I hear you were a Catholic and became a Baptist.
Yeah, you know, after 27 years... And what kind of got me, I'll throw this in, was I went to a non-denominational prayer meeting to poo-poo it, and they were talking about Nicodemus, and I saw in my mind's eye a priest that was actually, he was elevated to the next level, and I saw him asking Jesus, how can I get saved? And I said, he should know. He's a high priest in the Catholic Church. And the next thing I knew, I was on my knees. But that's, I had to explain it because of what you said. I was in my devotions about 3 days ago, and I came upon the thing that Jesus was on the cross looking down at the people murdering him in a terrible death. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Are you still there?
Yeah, Tony, we're listening. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And I'm thinking of in this election, these people don't know what they're doing. They really don't understand what communism is and socialism. I was in during Vietnam. And I'm wondering how many hundreds of thousands of our troops died on foreign soil. And now we have a peace president who's, you know, and they're not even saying that. They should be saying he's a peace president and he brought home 300,000 of our troops. How many moms and dads are still grieving from Vietnam losing a son? I had a dear friend of mine that was in football, but he's the shortest football player. He's like 5'5". He was fantastic. He went to Vietnam and became a tunnel rat. And he signed up three times. And the 3 days from the end, the Viet Cong were waiting, and they slaughtered him. And they never had a chance to say goodbye. How many moms and dads out there never had a chance to say goodbye, and they're going to vote for Biden? And we know the Democrats were in a bunch of wars.
Tony, let me jump in here. And I hear your pain, and I hear your passion in your comments and your voice right now. And I want to say, you know, you bring up something that is a point that a lot of people don't focus on. Our president is an anti-war president. You know, we have not been engaged in a war, an armed conflict during this administration. Because this president doesn't want American moms and dads to experience what you and others have experienced. That's what this president is trying to do. And you're right. The Democrats, they get us into the wars. The Republicans, look at George W. Bush. And I'm telling you, folks, there's a time and a place to go to war. And quite frankly, I was one of those speaking out about Iraq back in the day and questioned why we were going into Iraq in the first place when our fight was with bin Laden in Afghanistan. That's a big problem for me. Tony, God bless you, sir, and you hang in there. And it's a fair point. You got to remember this kind of stuff on Election Day. I don't get it. By the way, you've got people like Chris Rock out there saying that basically those in charge, for example, Barack and Michelle Obama, he said we should look to Barack and Michelle Obama as our parents. Our parents. Folks, it's the presidency, all right? We're not talking about, you know, the Pope. Well, we are talking about. Well, you know what I'm talking about. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today, ladies and gentlemen. A lot going on out there. We're going to be getting to your calls in just a moment. Go ahead and write down our telephone number, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, by the way, is toddstearns.com. Get yourself a free subscription to our daily newsletter. All sorts of great information, chock full of information that will be censored by Facebook and Twitter, no doubt. So back in August, there was a story that didn't get a lot of national attention. It was in Chamblee, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta. A woman was with her child, a one-year-old. It was on a Saturday, and the child was kidnapped. It happened in the afternoon, just after lunchtime. And She was walking home with her child in a baby stroller. The driver got out, pointed a gun to her hip, looked in the stroller, and tried to grab the boy. I just want to ask you, as a parent, what would you do if that was your child? What would you do if you were walking down the street and the most precious thing in your life was in that stroller, and somebody comes up to you with a gun and tries to take your baby, your most precious possession? What would you do in your heart? What would be your primal instinct? The mother got a hold of the gun and tried to shoot the man. So if you can imagine the scene there in Chamblee, Georgia, the baby in the stroller, a car drives up, an Acura, and the guy jumps out, has the gun. The mother's grabbing the gun, trying to save her child, and she tried to shoot the man. She got a hold of the gun. She tried to shoot the man, but the weapon did not fire. And while all that's going on, another guy jumps out of the van, or this vehicle, the SUV, the Acura, and tries to grab the child as well. Well, it turns out that she was not successful, but she fought. She fought with everything she had. She was able to tear off a piece of the clothing. She was able to get one of the shoes. And they were able, the FBI was able to use that evidence to find her child just a little while later. But could you imagine being in a situation where the most precious thing in your life is in jeopardy? The most precious thing in your life is about to be snatched away from you, never to be seen again. And that primal instinct is to literally throw your life in between the bad guys and your child. That's what Donald Trump is doing to America, for America. He sees that the socialist and the communist are trying to kidnap our country. They're trying to steal our freedom. And this president is going out there every single day, and he is taking bullet after bullet after bullet because he knows that something much greater than himself is at stake here. This president has been a very successful businessman. Now, you can argue about the bankruptcies and whatever, but the fact of the matter is, this man is very successful. His hotels are making money. He employs thousands and thousands of people. And as near as we can tell, he is a man who hires people no matter their skin color, no matter their sexual identity. He's a man who just wants people to work hard. Pick themselves up by the bootstraps. That's what they say. But I thought about this president because he has been very successful. He went on to have an incredibly successful career in television. And honestly, he could be spending the rest of his life playing golf down at Mar-a-Lago. That's what he could be doing. But he's not doing that. He decided to throw himself into that snake-infested swamp in Washington, D.C. He has been subjected to some of the most horrible treatment in the history of America. Yes, I said the history of America. I've never seen anything like this. And I got to thinking about it one day. Why is that? Why is it that this man who has more money than he knows what to do with, this man who has been just incredibly successful in his life, why is it that he gets up every single day and he gets out there and he fights for the American people? I think the president sees that our country is in danger, that the socialist and the communist are about to rip our freedoms away from us. And right now, and I'm telling you, folks, Donald John Trump is the only person in Washington, D.C., who's willing to stand up to the mob. The only one. All the other Republicans, they ran away. But not Donald Trump. He stood up and he fought for us. And I'm wondering, as we look to the debate, as we look to the election in just a couple of weeks, why is it that you're going out there and you're voting for this man? What is it about Donald Trump? What is it about this president that compels you to get up and go and vote on Election Day? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. You're going to have to answer that question for yourself. Because, folks, let me tell you something. Election Day is when you can make a difference. How many times in this country, how many times on this radio program, have we heard somebody calling in or somebody writing in and saying, Todd, what can I do? I'm just a housewife. Todd, what can I do? I'm just an auto mechanic. Todd, what can I do? I'm just a student. You know what you can do? You can get out there and you can go and vote. But it's not good enough just to vote. You got to get out there and you've got to get your friends. You got to get your family. You got to get your church members. You've got to bring people to the polls and you got to go vote on Election Day. You got to vote like the life of your country depends on it, because it does. This is about America. This is about who we are and who we are going to be. We are at a crossroads right here, folks. And you better believe this is not about Joe Biden. This is really not even about Kamala Harris. This is about whoever is pulling the strings. This is about whoever was able to push aside Bernie Sanders and shove senile Joe Biden to the front of the line. This is about somebody who controls Democrats and the Democrat Party. And who is that? Well, it's the AOCs of the world. It's the Ilhan Omars and the Rashida Tlaibs. That's what this is really all about. All right, let's go to the phones here. Let's go to Jacksonville. Kenny, Jacksonville, North Carolina. Kenny is on the line. We don't have Kenny. All right, well, we've got Kenny. All right, hello, Kenny. What's going on? Okay, we don't have Kenny. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to reset, check out what's wrong with our phone lines here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, from right here in Memphis, Tennessee. A lot of folks on hold, so hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. But I want to go to the Liberty University newsmaker line. We have a story out of the Memphis area, DeSoto County, Mississippi. Do we have our guest on the Liberty University newsmaker line? All right, I'm being told yes. So a former state representative, Robert Foster, is concerned about the governor's mask mandate in DeSoto County. This is a very large county right outside of Memphis, so it's a suburban area, very large area. And a lot of people live down there. Mr. Foster owns a place called The Barn at Cedar Hill. I have been there. It's pretty incredible. And he is fighting back. He said that people who don't wear who don't want to wear a mask don't have to wear a mask. And Mr. Foster is on the Liberty University newsmaker line. Great to have you with us, sir.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
And first of all, big fan of what you guys are doing. What a beautiful place you have there, the Barn at Cedar Hill.
Thank you so much.
All right, well, let's talk about this mask mandate, this mask ordinance. I know in many places, you got to wear the mask. They won't let you in the buildings. It's a great big mess. What made you decide that, you know what, enough is enough? What was the breaking point?
You know, as a small business owner, Todd, and anyone out there that has actually had to work for a living as a blue-collar, white-collar worker, unlike our governor, who I don't think's ever had a real job in his entire life, understands the struggles that we face just to pay bills and to make ends meet, to put food on the table for our families. And you know, this, it's not just about the mask. It's so much more important than that. There's restrictions on capacities, again, with this new executive order that really limit the capabilities of small businesses to be able to pay their bills. But yet there's no restrictions on capacities for Walmart or Home Depot or any of those type venues. So that's really what this all comes down to, is it's just one more thing. And I feel like what I think so many others feel like is that it's the straw that broke the camel's back. When we're trying to survive economically through, you know, a very terrible time for a lot of people, and it's hard enough with the virus and people being scared to go out, and the, you know, commerce is reduced a little bit, especially moved to online versus, you know, in store in a lot of ways. And so there's always winners and losers, but the small business owners tend to be the biggest losers with these government restrictions. And the mask mandate, to me, is just really the straw that breaks the camel's back, because here we have a governor that doesn't himself and has been caught numerous times and photographed at large, very large indoor group gatherings, not wearing a mask, yet he continues to make executive orders trying to force everyone else to wear one. And it's really hypocritical, and it's not realistic to try and force the general population to wear a mask, you know, all of the time. As a small business owner, it puts you in a terrible position when you're already, you know, struggling to try to make it, and then to have customers come in and to have to get into confrontations with them about whether or not they have the mask on, or the proper mask, or they're wearing it the proper way. And it's just something that I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to be the mask police for the state government. I'm just not going to do it. If people want to come to my business and wear one, I'm going to welcome them with open arms. If they want to not wear one, I'm not going to say a thing to them about it. And I'm going to welcome them into my business as well.
Good for you. And you know what? Because that's your right as an American citizen. The governor of Mississippi, who is a Republican, by the way, has no right to come in and tell you how you should be running your business.
Absolutely not. And I would say I don't really think he's acted like a Republican at all throughout this entire pandemic. He's acted more like a Democrat, and a lot of people would agree with that.
Yeah, you know, and I hate to say this, he's not the only Republican governor in the South who's really acting like a Republican in name only, to be
correct.
Honest with you.
Yeah, we've got a term for that, don't we, called a Rhino.
That's right. We certainly do. What has been the response from the customers, the people coming in and getting your delicious? By the way, I've got that pure maple syrup. That's like a crack, sir. That's delicious.
Yeah, we've got some really good food, and people are very happy to be able to come to a place and feel normal again. Because here's the big issue, Todd. Everybody has been made fully aware of the risk involved with the coronavirus. We've heard nothing about nothing else for over six months now. So every single adult that chooses to put themselves out into the public venue, into a restaurant or an entertainment venue of any type, has made the conscious decision to put themselves at risk, with or without a mask, whether you believe they work or don't work, it doesn't matter. They are making a decision to leave their home and to go to an optional entertainment or restaurant eating indoor activity. They don't have to do that. They can get takeout. They can order delivery. They can order their products online for the most part. They don't have to go to an entertainment venue. They are making a conscious decision and a risk assessment to do that on their own as a free American. And we need to quit playing picking and choosing winners like the governor's doing, where he's allowing, you know, ball games and certain venues like the state fair and people, they can do whatever they want, have as many people as they want, because he picks and chooses the winners and then tries to dictate to everybody in a small business, you know, whether they have to wear a mask or how many people.
It's ridiculous.
And it's just ridiculous.
Let me jump in here, Robert. Robert Foster, by the way, president of Cedar Hill Farm in Hernando, Mississippi. Robert, what's been the reaction from customers?
They're very happy to be able to come to a place and not be screamed at about not wearing a mask, to be able to come and not have to wear a mask, to walk 10 feet past 100 people not wearing a mask, sitting at tables, and then be able to take it off when they sit down. And it just doesn't make, there's no logic behind it. It doesn't make any sense. It's really, you know, people are really, very happy to be able to come to a restaurant and eat in a normal situation and setting. And we also have our pumpkin patch and corn maze open this time of year outside. And it's been a very popular venue for people to bring their children to an outdoor activity, to walk around the corn maze, to go get a pumpkin, to see the petting zoo animals, and they're really enjoying not being yelled at about not having to wear a mask all
good
day.
For them. And good for you. Look, here's the deal. I have no doubt they're going to try to come after you, Robert. But when they do, I want you to give us a call because we're going to help you guys. We're going to stand alongside and fight with you. Heaven forbid the Republican governor of Mississippi decides to come down and slap you with a fine.
Well, if he does, then we're prepared to fight that fight because some things are worth fighting for. And I believe what he's doing is unconstitutional. He's picking and choosing winners and losers. He's putting restrictions on certain places and venues and people and not all. And it's just not right what he's doing.
Well, yeah, if you get in trouble, Robert, you give me a call. We'll bail you out. Maybe in exchange for some of the, you know, some of the blueberries and some of the that delicious syrup. It's like a quid pro quo, but but it's good stuff. Seriously, the Stearns family, we're big fans of what you guys are doing down there.
Well, we really appreciate what you do, standing up for liberty. And this is the most important election that I think we may face in our lifetimes. And
agree.
And it's so important that people get out and vote and not to forget their local elections, because those impact us, as we've seen, just as much, if not as much more, than the federal elections.
Love it. All right, Robert, we're going to have to leave it there. Again, thank you very much for taking a bold stand. And we need more Americans to do what you're doing there in Hernando, Mississippi.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that's Robert Foster, president of the Cedar Hill Farm. And we've got a link to this place on our website, toddstearns.com. Folks, can I just say this? It's amazing. And this is a company, a business, family run, and they do a terrific job of putting out some great products. They got just something for everybody. And I'm very excited about Thursday because they had to do the big burgers, the half-pound burgers on Friday, on Thursdays. Very tasty. And they're fighting back against the Republican governor. Can you believe it? A Republican governor trying to curtail civil liberties in the United States of America. Unbelievable. Folks, we have a lot of people on hold wanting to talk. We're going to get to your calls immediately after the top of the hour news, so hang tight. We got Melba and Little Rock and Patrice and Nancy, Peter in Chattanooga, Kenny in North Carolina. Hang tight. We're going to get to you. 844-747-8868, our phone number, toddstearns.com, the website. We'll be right back, folks.